Have your Bibles with you this morning. I'd like you to turn to Psalm 96. Psalm 96. And while you're turning to Psalm 96, just remind you that we're looking at the theme of stepping out in faith this year. And I don't know how you're getting on with these. If you need one of these, this is the E100 Bible Reading Challenge. You can start this at any time of the year. If you haven't got one of those and you want one of those, come and see me afterwards and I can get you some of those. We've also still got plenty of one-to-one prayer cards where you write the name of a person on there and you stick that in a place where you'll see it every day. I've got mine on my computer keyboard, so every time I see that name, I just put my hand on that card and say, Lord, bless that person today. Help them to know your presence. Help them to come to know you. You might want to stick it in your purse, especially if you're a lady, because your purses come out a lot, I suppose, don't they? My wallet never comes out at all, so I would never see it, so I don't put it in there. Digging myself a hole here, aren't I? Yes. And, or you might want to stick it on the fridge. You know, if you go to the fridge quite a lot, or the biscuit tin, or the tea caddy, put it in a place where you go to the most. I was going to say the bathroom, but that's probably not suitable. Stick it somewhere where you see it, and every time you see that person's name, just say, Lord, bless that person. Soften their heart. Again, if you want one of those, we've got plenty of those. If you've lost it or you want some more, come and see me after the service, and we'll make sure that you have a prayer card to stick somebody's name on. Psalm 96, are you ready this morning? Yes, Psalm 96 says this, sing to the Lord a new song. Hello? Yes, it's up on the board. Excellent. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sorry, I must apologise to Carol. I'm not reading from your version there. I'm reading from mine, but there we go. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then the trees and the forests will sing for joy before the Lord. For he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and his peoples in faithfulness. I like that psalm. It's quite a good one, isn't it? Makes you feel sort of, yeah, spring is in the air. There's another psalm in 1 Chronicles 16 that if you want to turn to in your own time, you can do. And it's parallel with this. And it's a psalm of David when they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into its rightful place and establishing a place of honor for the Lord. Stepping out in faith, it takes some going sometimes, doesn't it, just to keep going. I remember going to Wales all by myself. In 1986, I'd not long passed my driving test, and I drove all the way to Wales because my mum and dad had a little caravan on a farm there, and I thought, I'm going to climb up this mountain all by myself, and it was called Cader Idris. Good mountain, isn't it, Keith? Wonderful. And I looked at the map, and I thought, I don't need that. I talked to the farmers and said, when's it a good day to go? And they said, not today, it's going to rain. I thought, it's nice and sunny, but it did rain. So I went the next day, and I started climbing this mountain. I thought, I'm nearly there, and I got to this sort of bit, and then it went down again. And I thought, oh, stuff that, I think I'll go back. But then I thought, no, I'm going to keep on going. But life is like that sometimes, isn't it? We start off fresh with the Lord, and we say, Lord, I really want to walk with you. And we look at the map, and we think, yeah, I don't need that, I'm going to keep on going. You see, the problem was, if I'd looked at the map, I would have realized that I thought I was on a footpath, but it wasn't. It was like a boundary line that was marked with a barbed wire fence. And so I was following this barbed wire fence instead of following the path. I should have a light into my feet path, I suppose. But it's easy to get discouraged, and we think we're arriving and we're getting there, and we think, oh my goodness me, have you seen this? I've got to go down in order to go back up again. And life's like that sometimes, isn't it? And sometimes when we read from God's word, it says, sing to the Lord a new song, and we think, I don't feel like singing to the Lord a new song. Doesn't the Lord know what kind of week I've had, or what Sunday morning I've had? The dog's just vomited, the kids have skating around in it, or whatever. What an awful day I'm having. Have you ever had a week like that? Maybe you haven't got a dog or kids. But you can borrow some. I'm sure you can borrow some if you want that kind of week. But in your own situation, in your own circumstances, sometimes we come to the word of the Lord and we say, Lord, that's so difficult. I can't sing a new song to you. My life is just falling apart. People don't realize what's going on in here or in here or in between my ears or whatever. There is a brain cell in here somewhere, I think. But people don't understand what's going on. And Lord, it's so difficult when your word says, sing to the Lord a new song. Maybe that's just a one-off and we can cope with that. Well, it's not. Psalm 98 says, sing to the Lord a new song. And there are other psalms that go through. Psalm 100 is even worse. It says, shout joyfully to the Lord. Lord, I can't shout joyfully to you. I'm facing so much this week. And I certainly don't feel like singing a new song. There's nothing left in my heart to give to you. You ever been like that? Or is that just me? Maybe that's just me, because you've got it all sorted out, haven't you? That's why I'm here. That's why I'm working here, because I want to learn from you, because you've got it all sorted out. If we're really honest, none of us have got it sorted out. And there are times in lives when we read passages like that, and it's so difficult to keep going, isn't it? To keep stepping out in faith. And sometimes we feel like, well, I've come so far in my experience with the Lord, but I've got so much further to go. Things seem so distant. It takes faith to keep going sometimes. It takes faith to keep praying sometimes. It takes strength and faith to keep worshipping God sometimes. Have you noticed how hard it is to worship God sometimes? Based on not on who he is and his steadfast nature and character, but based on our own circumstances. We might have had a real backside of a week, a real bottom of a week, but God is still Lord. But our circumstances dictate how we feel, and we come into the presence of the Lord and say, oh, I just can't, Lord. And yet he's so worthy. He never changes. And yet we don't base things on facts so very often. It's easy for situations and emotions to get in the way. I just can't bring myself. I just can't do it. I just can't pray. I just can't worship. And then we have Psalm 96, which really gets up my nose. Thank you, David, when it says, sing to the Lord a new song. Lord, I can't. There is nothing left within me. I am dry. Sing to the Lord. And so there are six things in this psalm that I want you to think about this morning. If you're taking notes, that's good. If you're not, then please listen up. And the first thing it says, verses 1 to 2 is a new song to sing for each day. That's a bit of a difficult one, isn't it? Where are we on with that one? Verse 2 there, it says, proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. How on earth can I have a new song for Monday morning? How on earth can I have a new song for Tuesday morning? I'm not even thinking about Thursday or Friday yet, but how can I have this new song, let alone just for Sunday, because Sunday's great, Sunday's coming, and you didn't get an email because my computer's up the duff, but never mind. Sunday's arrived still, despite technology, the Lord's Day's still here, but what about tomorrow, when you still have to face that difficult situation? A new song for today, for tomorrow, I don't feel like it, and yet David says this three times. He says, sing to the Lord. A new song. Then he says again, sing to the Lord, all the earth. Then he says a third time, verse 2, sing to the Lord, bless his name. It reminds me of my mum. She used to have to tell me things three times. First time I didn't listen. The second time I didn't want to listen. And the third time it just went over my head. But eventually I kind of got the message. And there's a sense, as David writes this, is this sense of, I want you to get this. I really want you to get this. Have you got it yet? But don't you just feel his sense of honesty here? He knows what it's like to feel the things that we feel. The only thing that separates us from King David's time and now is technology. The hearts of men are still wicked. The situations we worry over, whether it's prices of grain going up in David's time or the loaf of bread going up this week or whatever, situations still remain. People were worried about their teenagers in David's time. These things remain the same. David knew what he was saying, but he was honestly and coming to his people and saying three times, do you get this yet? But he says, proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. There are times when I don't feel like worshipping the Lord, but I have to remind myself who he is. What's this all about? Surely that is enough to give me a new song for today. I thank you, Lord, that I am saved. I will thank you tomorrow, dear Lord, that the cross remains the same, that Jesus died for my sin, and he rose again from the dead. That is absolutely awesome. Doesn't matter what I face tomorrow, I might get run down by a bus, Although I probably won't, because there's not many busters around our way. But you see the picture, there's this whole sense of whatever you face tomorrow, salvation is still the same. He is still worthy for all he has done. And this is what David is saying. He says this in verse 2. He says, sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim good tidings of his salvation. He's saying, get your eyes off yourself and your circumstances and remind yourself how good God is. Oh. Are you with me? You see, there's a sense of a holy roar about this. I want you to give me a roar. Make the kids wonder what's going on. Ready? On three. One, two, three.
Roar!
That's excellent. Now, I'm not losing my plot. You will see where I'm going with this. Now, that's pretty good, but I want it at least three times louder. All right? So the kids upstairs, I think, and I'll go to Margaret Haynes and I'll say, what are they doing down there? One, two, three. Yes!
Yay!
Sing to the Lord a new song. And when tomorrow comes, remind yourself of how good it is to be saved. Remind yourselves of what has been done, not what you're facing. And it's interesting how your situation will stay the same. You'll still have to face issues this week. And some of the things, whether it's the dog being sick, he might be sick again tomorrow. But he remains constant and steadfast. I'm quite into that. I quite like that. Your situation may stay the same, but your perspective on it will change as you change your view. Your situation may stay the same, but your experience of God will increase. Your situation may stay the same today, tomorrow, but not for eternity. Hello? That's astonishing. I tell you, that was an awesome missile in my head this week as I was thinking things through for this psalm. I was thinking, yes, what we face today might stay the same today and tomorrow, but, you know, Jesus is coming. Nothing will stay. There's a sense that Jesus is coming, and the issues that we struggle with in this world, the doubts, the fears, the things we have to overcome, whether it's sickness, disease, or things going in our minds that are just sort of rampaging our brains at times, they're not going to be like it forever. We must keep things in perspective because he is worthy. And as King David got these things in perspective, he was able to say, sing a new song to the Lord. You know, I feel like singing a new song to the Lord, but the chances are if I started singing, you'll run out through the doors and say, what's that terrible noise? Get pest control. I don't care. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. And I tell you, when this psalm gets to grips with you, it really starts shaking you around and you'll turn into Pentecostals. A call to worship the Lord from day to day, a new song for each day. And as we remember his salvation, there'll be a buzz in your footstep and you'll come to the end of the week and you'll still have a new song and your neighbours will say, what's making you so happy? And so there's a new song. God is good. I'm going to proclaim his tidings of his salvation from day to day. That's the first one. Then there's a new song of proclamation, verses 3-6. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among the peoples, for great is to the Lord, and you can feel his faith rising up here. Verse 5, he says, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. This isn't politically correct, is it? If David was saying this in our day and age, and writing this and publishing it as a poem or a work of literacy or something, the hammer would go and I'd say, you're not allowed to say that. But the truth of the matter is that the word of God is true. I might be simple, but I actually believe that the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Now, I haven't lost the plot, so just stay with me. All right? How many of you have problems in the fact that your printer ink is too expensive? Right. Who's that, Rose? Well, Sally, I would encourage you to go to Stinky Ink. Yes? Yes? Anybody else like a little card here to show you how to get good quality, original parts from Stinky Ink? Now, this isn't a con. This is for real. Okay, so anybody else like one? Yes. Now, the rest I'll leave on this piano, and you can take one of those later. Now, how difficult was that for me to do? Easy. It was easy for me to say how good Stinky Ink is. Why? Because I've experienced it. I've put orders in. And for a brother cartridge, because I've got a brother printer, for an original part, they're less than half the price, including postage, packing, and it arrived the next day. I thought, yes, brilliant. I could be an evangelist for Stinky Ink. In fact, I rang them up and said, can you send me some cards? I want to use it as an illustration on Sunday. Well, what are you doing on Sunday? I said, how long have you got? You see, why was it easy for me to tell you about Stinky Ink? Because I've experienced the goodness of what they can do. I've seen the fee that they charge. I've experienced the service that they give. And it's not an effort. It just kind of happens. They're a really good bunch to deal with. But what about the Lord? And the way we proclaim his tidings, a new song of proclamation. You see, it's easy to proclaim the Lord when we've experienced him and we know how good he is. And we just share him around and we say, you really must come to know the Lord. I've experienced him in this way in my life. And I want to encourage you. There'll be times when I want you to stand up and give a testimony and say, yes, this is how good God is. You see, when something you've experienced is so good, you can't help but tell other people about it, can you? How many of you got a Dyson vacuum cleaner at home? Aren't they brilliant? They're great for sucking up. Well, I won't tell you what they're great for sucking up. I'll get into trouble. But aren't they fantastic? Why? Because you've experienced how good it is. What about the goodness of God? Why is it we're so afraid to have a song of proclamation of who our God is through what we've experienced afresh from him each day? But we can't help but just do it. It comes naturally. It comes organically in the sense of we're doing it. We don't even know we're doing it. How many of you counted your heartbeats since you've been in this morning? Donald, you must have. You're into that kind of thing, aren't you? No? No? Richard? No? Nobody? You surprised me. I'm surprised somebody hasn't sort of... Wayne shouted now. It's gone up a bit. It's organic. We don't know. It goes on. Yet something of our witness as captivated in this psalm. Sing a new song to the Lord. I know I'm getting carried away a bit there, but it's so exciting, this psalm. I know what's happening at the end. You wait till you come to the end. You'll be in heaven by the time you come to the end. As this sense of I can't help but talk about Jesus because I've experienced him. I know how good he is. And oh, I want you to know him because he'll bless you. You see, if I can hand out an ink card and say this will bless you if you ring him up and ask about it, how much more can I do that about Jesus, who is far more important than an ink cartridge? And yet so very often we get caught away in the things of the world and we lose sight of the majesty and who God really is and how wonderful he is. You see, there's a sense, dear friends, we need to take church to wherever we go on a Monday, to wherever we go on a Tuesday and a Wednesday and a Thursday and a Friday, to be church, this sense of we're just caught up in the presence of the Lord and the wonder of his word. And we tell people, hey, guess what happened on Sunday? You know, when I was converted, when I was studying naval architecture and shipbuilding down in Cornwall, my friends used to say to me, you haven't been around the pub on a Sunday night. Where have you been? I said, oh, I've been going to church. Why? I said, well, you really ought to come. It's absolutely brilliant. And I couldn't help but tell them how great it was because there was such a contrast. Maybe we've got so conditioned by the world, we've lost that kind of contrast. And we lose that sense of organic Christianity where we just can't help but tell people about Jesus. And this is what's happening to David as he's singing this new song. He gets down and he says, tell of the wonderful glory among the nations, the wonderful deeds among the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He puts a difference in our lives. Thirdly, there's a new song of sacrifice before the Lord. And he says in verse 7, ascribe to the Lord, or what's it say there? Sing to the Lord. It says ascribe there as well. That means give to the Lord, the families of the peoples. It comes on to verse 8 and it says, bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Bring an offering. That's an interesting one, isn't it? Because if you go through the book of Leviticus, there are all sorts of offerings. There are burnt offerings. There are grain offerings. There are sin offerings. There are trespass offerings. There are peace offerings. They really got into offerings in the Old Testament, but for the offering here, it's to bring a meal offering, to bring in a meal offering. And how can we look at that? How can we unpack that a little bit? There's no animals or blood involved in this offering, and they were told to bring this offering, which involved taking a seed of grain. And can you imagine what it was like for the tribe of Israel to bring a seed of grain when they're in the wilderness, to bring a meal offering? They got plenty of cattle. It's easy to sacrifice cattle, whether it's goats and sheep and bulls and things. But where are they going to get grain from in the desert? And yet David goes back to that time of to bring this meal offering before the Lord, like a fellowship offering before the Lord. Sometimes we just got to give to the Lord when we think this is the last little bit we've got. This is the last little bit of energy I've got, Lord, but I'm going to give it all to you. And he says, bring this offering. A grain offering contained grain or meal offering, which is pretty obvious. But Jesus said this, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. See how this points to Jesus. It contained a little bit of frankincense. See, frankincense at Jesus' birth for his priesthood. It represented prayer and healing properties. The grain offering also had to contain some oil in it. And it's interesting, Isaiah 61 verses 1 to 3 says, he gave me beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Also contained a bit of salt, and there's a covenant of salt in the Old Testament. We haven't got time to look at that today. But salt represented purity and fellowship in the sense that, let me try and explain this from an Eastern cultural point of view. When you come to my table, if you come and have a meal with us, you might say, could you pass the salt, please? And there's a sense in the meal offering and the grain offering that the salt element sort of is part of the purity issue, because salt purifies things, but it's also this sense of God having fellowship with us. He wants us to come and commune with him. Matthew 5 talks about salt of the earth and character to make a difference. Colossians 4 verse 6 says this, "Let your speech always be with grace, as it were with salt, so that you should know how to respond to each person." So salt puts a difference, purity, but it's also this sense of close offering. And he says here to bring an offering and come into the courts. There's a sense with, Lord, you don't understand, I've got so little to give to you. And what I have seems so precious to me, but I'll give it to you. You see, it's not the amount that God wants from you, it's the sacrifice of the heart. And sometimes the things that we give to the Lord might be so painful. It might be members of our family. It might be financial. It might be physical. Whatever it is, sometimes it's just so demanding. But the psalmist says, whatever you've got, bring it into the Lord. And at your sacrifice of praise this morning, your meal offering might have been just getting here. And you think, Lord, do you realize how much effort and how much of a sacrifice it has been for me just to come and sit in your presence today? And that's what it says. It says, bring this offering and come into his courts. Come to the place where God is. And so we see King David here as he brings this next stage to this, singing a song, a new song of sacrifice to the Lord. Fourthly, verse 10 there, a new song of mission. He says, say to the nations, the Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity or righteousness. There's a very real sense that we don't have to go to the nations to meet the nations anymore. The nations are quite literally on our doorstep, and yet there's a song of mission here. Who are we going to tell about the goodness of the Lord? It's interesting here that King David says this, indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. Now, this has got nothing to do with earthquakes, because obviously the world is quite fragile as far as that point is. This is to do with God's justice on the earth. And the reason why we have law courts and justice, hopefully in this country, is this whole sense that our society is steadfast and established and what it believes and how it practices its normal way of life. And there's a very real sense that David says here, proclaim to the nations that there is a real judge. There is a real sense of justice. There is a real way of having things done. You ain't seen nothing yet. You see, that's part of our mission mandate, isn't it? To tell people that the difficulties that they see in this world, that the, you know, when people ask you questions, if there's a God, why does this happen? All the things that we struggle with, it's all to do with this sense, actually, there is a righteous judge, but he's not passed sentence yet. Yet. It's that little word, yet, we have difficulties with, because we want things to be sorted out now. We want the case in Libya to be sorted out. We want injustice with children and poverty and the sex trade sorted out. We want all these things sorted out, don't we? And yet it's our mission to keep a good focus and say, actually, there is a judge and he will judge rightly according to his word. That gives me a sense of hope and purpose. A lot of my ancestors were killed in the Holocaust. And sometimes I could easily think, where was God in that? But God has not passed sentence yet on those who are perpetrators. And it's important for us to keep that in perspective in this world, that we have this sense of a new song of mission. It's not always going to be like this. The law of God is firmly established. He will reign and judge rightly. Only a reigning king can judge. There is hope. There is a sense of things being put right. There is a God. There is a God who reigns. A new song of mission. Fifthly, we've only got six, so there's only two more to do, verses 11 to 12, a new song of release. A new song of release. David says this in verse 11, let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice, let the sea roar and all it contains, let the field exult and all that is in it, let the trees and the forest that will sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming. Now, at this point, I need some volunteers. So I'm going to call before me Tim, because I've sort of asked if he would, and I wondered if Donald, can I borrow you for a moment? Is that possible? Now, I would like you to sort of be back to back to each other, if you can do that. Can you do that? Now, I haven't lost the plot. You'll see where I'm going with this, and hopefully you'll need to put your hand down. That's right. You need to go inside. Yes. No cheating.
You got away with it.
Nearly. There we go. Is that tight enough? Can you still breathe? Yeah. Now, if we had time, I would put all of these on. Now, how do you feel like that, if you were to be like that for the rest of your days?
Not good.
Not good. Well, why don't you just lift your hands up and worship the Lord and say, yeah, great is Lord, great is being praised. It's difficult, isn't it? Now, King David says here that creation will be rejoicing. I want us to think about this for a little moment. So we won't forget you. We will come back to you. Genesis 3, verse 17, if I can bring you back for a moment while they're just having a good time there. Just enjoy close fellowship there. Genesis 3, verse 17, God said to Adam, cursed is the ground and the soil because of you. Cursed is the ground. Have you ever wondered how creation just kind of groans? I feel really sad when I see sickness in mankind, and womankind, if you like that kind of thing. But I also am sad when I see sickness in animals and the natural world around us. In fact, Romans 8, verse 18 says this, for I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed in us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself will also be set free from the slavery of corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole of creation groans and suffers the pains. And yet here it says that they will rejoice. And can you imagine if creation was like this, and yet creation through the eye of faith says and sees, well, actually, I might be bound, I might be subject to the rule of the curse, but it says all the trees of the forest will sing before the Lord, verse 13, before the Lord, for he is coming. For he is coming. There's a sense of you're not going to stay like this forever because he is coming. Now, if I just release that from you, how do you feel now? Do you feel you can sort of get on with your life and really worship the Lord? Good. Do sit down for a moment. You see, these things are only temporary, but it's as if the whole of creation is sat on the edge of its seat and it will rejoice. I like it when the wind blows through the trees. Shh, and it sounds like they're clapping their hands. It's very pictorial, but it's very, very beautiful in the sense of the whole of creation is waiting for that time when these things will end. And suffering in mankind and in nature will be gone. I find it really distressing when I walk through a forest and see diseased trees. But it's all to do with going back to the Garden of Eden and the fall. And yet there's a new song of release. That as we look at the world around us, that these things are not going to be like this. And then lastly, there's a new song before the Lord. Verse 13, for he is coming. Before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Started off with sing to the Lord a new song. He's coming. Oh, dear sister. Yes, he's coming. Oh, yes. What happened to that cheer? You see, despite what we see all around us, we know that this is not it. And we await for our Saviour. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 says this, behold, he is coming in the clouds, and every eye shall see him. Revelation 4, verse 8 says, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and is to come. Revelation 22, verse 20 says, and it's right at the end of the book of Revelation, Jesus just says, yes, I'm coming quickly. Wow. Didn't have much to say right at the end of the book of Revelation, right at the end of the Bible. You'd think you'd have something really profound to say, but he just says, yes, I'm coming quickly. That's all we need to know. And can you imagine that this psalm is being written? I want you to imagine for a moment like a big stadium, a big sports arena where people come and do games and horse racing and things like that. And the crowd are there waiting for the arrival of the champion. And they're just listening and they're waiting. And then somebody says, he's arrived, he's about to come through. And there's this enormous cheer, yes, 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 as the champion comes through. This is how this is being written. I can hear him coming. And there's this huge cheer. And yet he's not entered the stadium yet, but they know he's coming. And I think we're living in that time. We're in that stadium, we're in that arena of life, and we're just waiting for him to come. He's coming quickly. And yet, yes, I can see the signs. I can hear the sound on the wind that it won't be long till Jesus returns. As you read this psalm, the intensity builds up and up and up until they realize that their King Redeemer has come. Stepping out in faith, a new song for each day, a new song of proclamation, a new song of sacrifice, a new song of mission, a new song of release, a new song to the Lord, for he is coming. When it starts getting tough, sing a new song. While you wait for the stadium of this life, this sense of waiting for the Lord, we're not spectators but participators. We're preparing the ground for him to come. We're not there yet, but we're getting there. We're getting there. Hello? Say with me. We're getting there. Good. The price of bananas is going up. No, actually, we're getting there because he is on his way. Satan's not interested in you. He's only out to destroy any relationship you have with God. He's only out to discourage you in your relationship with God. He's only out to make you feel discouraged in this world. But there's a new song. I can hear it. Can you? Yes. Can you hear it?
Yes.
Good. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Dear Lord, as we walk through this life that you have given each one of us, and as we step out in faith each day, I pray that we would experience your hand in our hand each day afresh. That no matter what we see in this world, whether it's evil dictators, earthquakes, famines, diseases, awful things, Jesus reigns and he is coming. Help us to be ready. Prepare ourselves each day for his return, dear Lord. We eagerly await, as if we are in that stadium, that arena of life, waiting for your entrance. And Lord, we will bow down and worship you, for there is no other. As we step out in faith, keep that new song afresh in our hearts, Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Father, may that be true of us each day this week. In Jesus' name, we ask that he would get the glory. Amen. We're going to sing in closing. Who is on the Lord's side?